It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey friends, on today's show, we'll learn about some very important work being done through the National Clean Plant Network. Our guest today is Dr. David Slezak, Professor of Horticulture at the University of Wisconsin at River Falls. Now, David serves on the National Clean Plant Network Advisory Board with a focus on roses. Hello, David. Welcome to Rose Chat.
Hi, Teresa. It's great to be with you.
Oh, it's so good to have you and to learn about this very important work. So, Professor Slezak, we're ready to be your students and learn more about this network and how it benefits the world of roses.
Oh, you're so kind. So the National Clean Plant Network started in 2008 with the Farm Bill. And what the National Clean Plant Network does that's unique that did not happen before that is provide funding for being able to take key plant materials of specialty crops, so things that typically fall under the horticulture umbrella, mainly our fruits are part of that right now, and be able to identify cultivars and specific plants that are clean of key viruses and make that material available to the nation's propagators. So if a new variety, let's say, that comes from Europe, gets over here and we find a virus in it, before that point, we would just destroy it. So the United States Department of Agriculture, the approach was whenever there was something sick, we'd destroy it for good reason. So the National Clean Plant Network allows us to take these plant materials, test them for viruses, and even if they are positive for viruses, we can work to clean them up and then make clean versions of these varieties available to U.S. agriculture. So it's a way to help us with our agricultural security.
Wonderful. And there's so many beautiful roses that are being grown in other countries, so we don't want to be left out of that chain.
Exactly. And at first, roses were not part of the National Clean Plant Network. It wasn't until 2014 when an effort by Dr. Deborah Galino from Foundation Plant Services at UC Davis and also David Byrne from Texas A&M, they joined forces and got a number of us to help in order to include roses in the collection. So roses are the only ornamental crop out of the seven current crops under the umbrella, which includes berries, citrus, fruit trees, grapes, hops, and also sweet potatoes. So roses were included in 2015. The work by Deborah Galino and the great people at Foundation Plant Services with roses, which began in the 1960s, is able to be funded in order to help continue their work and expand the number of roses that they have in their collection. So these roses that are in their collection go through a number of different test phases and only get into the collection after they've passed all the tests to show that they're free of key rose viruses. And then those roses, which right now are just under 800 different rose varieties, are available to not only the nation's leading propagators and nurseries, but also to us as rosarians too. So we could make an order for propagation material. The minimum order is $25. They definitely, you know, work with the major propagators and it's easier to work with them, but these smaller orders from us as rose lovers is something that they also work with.
That's just fabulous. I mean, you know, it's not just, we don't want it to be just for ornamentals. You know, the food that we eat is very important, of course, but it is so nice to be included in this and to have so, did you say 800 available?
That's right. Just under 800 are through the process and available to everybody. There's also 8 different root stocks that are available too. So these roses, how do they get into the collection? Well, with the extra funding that's been possible through the NCPN, it's allowed the new roses just coming onto the market to be easily included, so the nurseries don't have to pay fees in order to get their roses into the program, because we want their roses. We want everybody's roses so we could supply the nation with clean plant material. So a rose comes into their program and it's first tested for viruses in particular. There's a number of key problematic viruses that roses get that are tested for, and if they show that they're clean for those, that's not the gate in order to get into collection yet, because there's viruses that we haven't characterized yet. So what they do is graft these roses onto a very susceptible rootstock that shows symptoms of virus quite readily. It's called the biological assay. So these roses are grafted onto a form of Rosa multiflora and followed for a couple of seasons. And if that Rosa multiflora rootstock, which they allow to grow, they don't just cut the rootstock stems off totally. They allow it to grow. And if it shows any symptoms and they know that there's some sort of virus, and that stops it from being included in the collection. But if it doesn't show symptoms, that's a biological test at one of the two that it passes. And then an additional test, they graft onto a special form of cherry. And this cherry, even though the graft doesn't form for the long term with the rose, if there is a virus, the sap around that graft becomes very gummy. And that's another indication. So a rose has to pass the different tests for the known viruses, the laboratory assays, as well as 2 biological assays. And only then is it able to be included in this collection. So it's a really good safeguard.
Such thorough work. And it is a safeguard.
The National Clean Plant Network originally in 2008 started with funding of $5 million. And even though that sounds like a lot of money, and it is, it's actually a small portion of the United States Department of Agriculture's overall budget. So this program was so successful and has such strong bipartisan support that in our latest farm bill, the amount of money got elevated to $6.5 million, and this past year for 2020, up to $7.5 million. So how is this money utilized? So these different crops put together proposals, and being on the advisory board, I get to hear these proposals, brainstorm our priorities to make sure the proposals meet the key needs of different stakeholders. So for this year, the ask for roses is just over $450,000. And what that money goes for is not only maintaining and expanding that collection of clean roses at Foundation Plant Services, but also to help improve some of the tools necessary in order to characterize roses for the viruses that they have. There are over a couple dozen viruses known to infect roses, and being able to utilize these tools for diagnostics is really important. So being able to develop tools that any plant disease clinic in anyone's local state can utilize and easily test for a particular virus is part of our overall goal here as well. There's a number of different opportunities that the NCPN opens up. And one thing that I'd love to share in terms of some of the latest advances is to include many of the old garden roses that people love and enjoy for centuries that are at Florida College with Dr. Malcolm Manners. He's been working to clean up old garden roses using heat therapy and some older techniques for decades. And now we're utilizing his collection, confirming that they're clean with some of these more advanced tools, and then getting as many of these old garden roses as possible into the clean collection.
That goes to right to the heart of rose lovers. You know, it's our history.
So as time goes by, we're pacing ourselves with the different proposals that we have, what we're focusing on year by year. So in addition to working with these old garden roses, some of the current efforts are also devoted towards having roses that we know are dirty or infected with specific viruses. So we could utilize those roses and tissue off of them to send as positive controls to plant disease clinics when they test roses for different gardeners, nurseries, and such, as well as funding is being put towards an economic survey. So understanding how much value having clean plants would have to the overall rose community. It's a little hard sometimes to grasp or understand the economics of the value of clean roses, maybe compared to grapes and other crops where we have a decline in yield and that could be more easily measured. So we're working, develop some economic thresholds and understanding to help continue to justify and understand the economic impact having clean roses would have to the U.S. economy.
And all of us who are backyard gardeners are going to benefit from this greatly with the choices that we have.
It's best to start with clean plants. And maybe I should take a step back here and just describe what viruses are. So the National Clean Plant Network especially is focused on viruses because they're internal. They move throughout the whole plant, so therefore they're systemic. And whenever we propagate through cuttings or grafting, that particular disease-causing agent, that pathogen, continues to the next generation of plants. So viruses are very simple in terms of being just a little protein coat with a little bit of nucleic acid, be it DNA or RNA. So these viruses, they utilize their hosts in terms of their cells in order to make more copies of themselves. And as the host cell is basically being hijacked to make more and more copies of the virus, the cellular function diminishes, some cells even die, and we get decreased growth rates, decreased performance in general. So whenever possible, if we are not introducing viruses to our gardens, that's great not only to start with a clean plant for that plant's sake, but also so it doesn't spread to our other plants. Fortunately, for most of the rose viruses, with the exception of rose rosette disease, most of these rose viruses move very slowly and are relatively easy to control by just not introducing them to our garden. So through good propagation practices, we can control them in the nursery situation. And then once they're in our garden, if we have an infected rose, if it's not forming a root graft with a neighboring rose, for the most part, these viruses are not spreading. So with good propagation practices and getting clean plants through the supply chain, we're able to make a big difference in terms of the quality of roses in the marketplace.
This is a win-win for us, and it's very valuable work indeed. And I can just imagine how important it is to you because you've been interested in hybridizing for a very long time. So for our last few minutes, I'd love to focus on your roses and how you got started into the hybridizing process.
I love roses as a kid, and the idea of starting new plants from seed and coming up with new roses that I haven't grown before that have unique combinations of traits especially resonated with me. So as a kid, I loved all aspects of gardening, and I had a rose bush that I just cherished. It was Crimson Glory, that old fragrant red rose from Cordes from the 1930s. And there was an article in the local newspaper about somebody's rose breeding hobby, Will Rattler. It was before his wonderful rose Knockout and all the wonderful roses after that came on the market. So he was breeding roses as a hobby. And I was inspired by that article. So I wrote to him and he got me started. I've been breeding roses ever since. Over the years, my goal has become more clear. I just love learning more about roses, and as I start them from seed and come up with all this wonderful diversity, just see the diversity that emerges, I can learn more about roses. And that's what especially inspires me. Very few roses ever come on the market out of anybody's breeding program. So the joy is in the journey, definitely. And whenever a rose comes on the market, it's really fun for me to be able to have something to share with others.
So tell us, what was your first rose release? You have several on the market now, but what was the first one?
That's a great question. So roses come on the market and sometimes they come off the market. So the first one is a little mini flora called Honeybee, and it was introduced through our local horticulture club fundraiser sale at the University of Minnesota when I was a student there. It's a beautiful little miniature rose. It never became widely available. We use it for some of the rose black spot research that I do today because it has a unique resistance. So that was the first one. And then after that, naming roses for friends. Sometimes they had limited availability through Roses Unlimited. Catherine Guelda came on the market for a season. I'm not sure if they still have some for sale or not. Named it after a friend's daughter, Hannah Ruby, another friend's daughter as well. And then eventually some came on the market that had wider distribution. And so one that I'm particularly excited about, it's been on the market since 2015, is a hardy climber for the north, and it's called Above and Beyond. So it's an apricot colored rose, orange buds, opens up to apricot color, fades to a soft creamy tone, and it's hardy to the tip in zone 4 here. It's kind of like William Baffin in terms of degree of hardiness and size and overall vigor, but in a different color. In addition to climbers, I also love very compact roses, miniatures, and also the polyanthas. So Petite Pink, also Easy Petite Pink, is one of my favorites for being a healthy miniature rose that keeps blooming, that's crown hardy in our cold region. It has some of the Hardy Explorer series in its background, as well as some of Ralph Moore's miniatures to help bring down the size. And the polyanthas, they're kind of like miniatures. They're similar in size in terms of plant size. They have lots of small blooms and enormous clusters. So I have a number of polyantha roses that just came on the market in recent years here. So the Pretty Poly series, Do Star Roses and Plants, and also Easy Peasy. So I'm continuing to work to expand the color range of polyanthas, breed hardy and healthy, larger flowered landscape roses for the north. And to my surprise, a lot of these northern adapted roses are doing well in the south. Some of the reports of some of my southern friends.
Well, as you know, I love all of your roses and have several. And anyone who listens to this podcast on a regular basis knows how much I love Petite Pink. It does so well for me here in the Midwest, but also it does very well for Chris and his southern garden. So you're right. It does do well in northern and some southern climates, which is such a bonus.
That's great to hear, Teresa. And what one thing that I love through my journey with roses is the people that I've gotten to know and get to interact with all the time. So people through the Rose Society and through the research that I love doing with characterizing new viruses and also the black spot resistance work that I've been a part of. So the Rose community is something that brings me a lot of joy, and I'm really grateful to be able to delve in and be a part of different parts of it. So plant breeding opens up opportunities to breed for disease resistance, work to help get beyond problematic viruses, and be able to connect me with other people that love roses. So ultimately, as a kid, I'm just a rose lover at heart. Through all these years, I've been able to earn degrees in horticulture, gain skills, and be able to be part of multiple aspects of the rose community, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, we're very grateful for that, too. Today, we've learned the importance of the work of the Clean Plant Network. And so we appreciate your work and giving your time to that. And we appreciate you joining us today and sharing that with us. You are such a good friend to all of those who love roses. And you have so many beautiful roses that make our gardens sing.
Thank you, Teresa.
Rose friends, thank you too for joining us today. Now, if you'd like more information on the Clean Plant Network, that website is simply nationalcleanplantnetwork.org. So until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.